Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and it is such a blessing to be here on the program again, coming to you in the book of Revelation. This has been a day that I have enjoyed today, and I pray that you enjoyed your day today also. Are the saints ready to be exiled? Are the saints ready to be exiled? Revelation chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 will be exposed by Pastor Michael Crow today as he reveals the richness of these verses leading up to the seven churches in Asia. The Apostle John was commissioned to write, therefore, the things you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this, according to verse 19. On an island called Patmos, and sometimes we feel like we are exiled or suffering because of our faith in Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is a book that brings promise and comfort. So I hope that you tune in and have an ear to hear what Pastor Crow is going to reveal to us through the pages of this blessed book, the book of Revelation. So, Pastor Crow, if you could go ahead and get started. And I hope that we are all so eager and hungry to come and eat from the table of the King. Pastor Crow, thank you for being with us again and walking us through these awesome pages in the book of Revelation.
Thank you so much, Sister Smith, and I want to thank your listening audience. I bring greetings from the Baltimore Missionary Baptist Church, 3244 Berry Street in 3rd Ward, area of the city, and we bring greetings to your listening audience and to yourself. And as usual, we always want to thank God for allowing the Holy Spirit to use you in spreading the gospel. And we certainly appreciate the God in you allowing the God in us to participate in these closing days of grace. And I am so thankful to get a chance to share in the book of Revelation. And we stated last week that this book is a very special book because many people have different views about this book, and that's okay, because God can reveal what he wants to who he wants, when he wants, if he wants. So when he gives us different visions, that's different views, that's only a sovereign God can do that. But I just tonight would want to share with you with what he shared with me, and I hope it will be a blessing. And it would encourage you to study your word to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of God. We stated on last week that the theme of this whole revelation comes out of that second verse in the first chapter. It say, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ in all things that he saw. And we will recall on last week we talked about John's view of what God revealed to him. And one of the things that we studied throughout this book, we're dealing with the Word of God, testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, unlike other books in the Bible, Jesus is the speaker here. John is the translator, and the Father is sending the message, and the message was given by the angel. So this is not your synoptic gospel in the sense of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're dealing with a revelation that was revealed to John while exiled on the island of Patmos from God to the Son, to the angel, to John. And our prayer is that maybe there are some golden nuggets, maybe there are some statements, maybe there are some words by the help of the Holy Spirit that can help us have a better understanding of Christ's second coming, of what's expected in the future. And we pass through dispensation of grace, that we move to the tribulation and the great tribulation period. It's amazing how God, through his word, can show us what he wants us to see and tell us what he wants us to know and lead us in the path that he would have us to go. And we thank God for this revelation that he gave John, and we thank God for him allowing us right now today to let the Holy Spirit teach it to us. Now, in that fourth verse, one of the things I want to make note of, because when we get ready to talk about the church, we'll be dealing with the seven spirits, the seven candlesticks, and the seven angels. This is something that could be a real good study for you, because when we talk about the seven angels, we're speaking of the angel of the church. Nowadays, they're known as pastor, bishop, but the angel of the house of God, the under-shepherd. So we deal with the seven angels. The seven candlesticks represents the seven churches, and the seven spirit represents the Holy Spirit. Now, one thing you want to keep in mind, that there's not seven spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit. So we want to keep that in mind. The preacher, the church, and the Holy Spirit. The seven angels, the seven candlesticks, the seven spirits. We'll be discussing that more in depth on next week. But what we have also, we have in this revelation, it deals with the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We know that the Father sent the Son. The Son came and died, and the Holy Spirit was left for our empowerment to lead us and guide us. And that's a good thought to know. Now, many people don't have that view of the Trinity, because Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible, but one thing for sure, we believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit represents the Trinity, which through the help of the Holy Spirit, the dying of the Son, the redemption plan of the Father, have made us what we are today. Now, let's look at that seventh verse. Let's look at that seventh verse. It says, and it's a lot in this seventh verse, because John get ready to reveal his revelation. And I guess the thought that I would use tonight, if that was a thought that we want to end up with, what I'm trying to get you, get the Holy Spirit trying to get you to see through me, is that we can find in this lesson how to receive a revelation from God. How to receive a revelation from God. God's still giving out revelation. God's still revealing things to me. But John shows us environment, the atmosphere, the position that us as believers have to be in to receive a revelation from God. Now, let's look at this. Let's slowly work at it. Let's look at the seventh verse. It says, "Behold, come." Now, I'm reading out of the King James Version. And in my Bible, the numbers at the seventh verse, it says, "Behold," and there's a comma behind "behold." And we've been taught that the comma means don't rush past this "behold." It means that God is about to show us something. God is about to reveal us something through the Holy Spirit. So take your time and let's read this together. Say, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall well be called of him. Even so, amen." Now, here John deals with it being used to deal with the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ. And you know, outside his death, burial, and resurrection, his second coming is just as glorious. Because we as believers, in the closing days of grace, with all of the indications that we're getting from the word, the environment, world relations, many in the church believe that he's on his way back. And John gives us a picture of his version of Christ coming back. And it's good to know that he's coming back. And then let's just stop right here and let's just let our listeners know, in case somebody has to leave, Jesus is on his way back, and now is the time for you to come to know who he is before it's too late. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will return. And in this seventh verse, it's giving us a description of what John saw of his coming. Now watch, in this seventh verse, let's just deal with a few items in this seventh verse. It's so loaded down. First of all, he's coming in the clouds. Now, I think a better way to get a better understanding of that, we need to put a scripture with that. Revelation 14:14, I think, gives us a scripture to help us better understand how majestic, how powerful, how great this moment will be when Christ steps out in the midair. And we could go over Corinthians, and we could start about the old living chain. It goes to Thessalonians. But listen how Revelation 14:14 describes his coming back. Can you read that for us, Sister Smith?
Yes. It reads this way. "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle."
And we know that Christ is returning with our reward. We know that when he returns, we're going to crown him King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now, one of the things we want to keep in mind, and this is just a footnote for our readers to get a chance to understand, and we'll get more to it in the fourth chapter, but the church in the fourth chapter, our view is that that is considered a type of the rapture of the church. So let us keep in mind that when you look at the fourth chapter, we'll get off into the actual rapture of the church. But right now, let's look at how the elements, how he, the clouds, will be at his feet. Now, that's not unusual for a person that can rock a storm to sleep in the cradle of his own. That's not unexpected of a person that could unstop deaf ears. Him riding, coming in on the cloud in a spectacular and glorious way, it's not unusual for a person that had raised the dead. We just have to learn to deal with the humanity of Christ and the divinity of Christ. And what we're seeing here, we see him in his divinity. Now, his second coming is a warning to some, and it's a glorious event to others. But the second coming of Christ is really a warning to the wicked. I think Matthew 24 and 30 might give us a better understanding of what I'm trying to say. Matthew 24 and 30. Could you read that for us, Sister Smith?
Sure. Matthew chapter 24, verse
30.
And it reads this way. Matthew 24, verse 30. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and glory, great glory.
Now, that's a wonderful example, and as we go through Revelation, especially when we get over into the tribulation and the great tribulation period, and if we would get into the study as to what would be going on at the time and the great threat to Israel at that time and the wars and the plagues and the thing that's going to be going on, it's going to be a relief to the overcomers on earth. And it's going to be a warning to the false prophet, the dragon, the Antichrist, because he is coming back with all power. And oftentimes the conversation was in the old church was that the first time he came low. He came humble. He became poor that we might be rich. He wasn't born in the palace. He didn't come and join up with the kings and princes and rulers of the world. He came low and he came humble. And we celebrate his born in a manger. There was no room in the inn. First time he came in his humanity, born through the incarnated birth, came as a humble man, never did any wrong, came for you and I. He came to die, but he came the first time in an humble way. And that I would tell us if you... nothing wrong with being humble. Christ, the old preacher say, gave his glitter to the stars, his glory to the moon, his brightness to the sun, and enclosed himself in humanity, born in Bethlehem, and he took the cursing, he took the abuse, he took the shame issued out by the creature to the creator. And guess what? He did it all for you and I. Somebody out there tonight that don't know him as in the pardon of their sin, I want to let you know today, the first time he came humble. He came low. And that was one of the reasons why many of the Jewish people were upset, because they expected the Messiah, because God had promised. And God never makes a promise that he doesn't keep. But they didn't expect him to come this way. But I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he came in a humble and low way, because it gave me, as a Gentile, an opportunity to see, the Bible says, that great light. Because we sat in darkness, but a light came. But now, the next time when he comes, the old preacher say he going to put on his war boots. He coming back to do war. He not coming in a humble way. He's coming back to take back what darkness stole from Adam. He's coming back to put Satan in his place. He's coming back, I tell you. He's coming back to bring law and order. Preacher say he's going to put his war boots on. He not coming low this time. He not coming humble this time. He coming in his greatness. He coming in his power. One thing you got to always say, God love Israel. And when you read over in Daniel and you see the events that will be taking place at his second coming, is going to be at one of the worst periods in the history of this world. But at that particular time, the Bible said Jesus is going to come in the clouds. Now, wait a minute. Now, here's a thought that I really want you, because this really puzzled me. This really got me. And I think as a child, this verse made me really realize the responsibility of a Christian. It made me not be ashamed. Smith, I want you to read Mark 8:38. Because this is a message to the believer. Come on.
Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angel.
Oh, Lord. When I was younger, when they used to ask me to do things in church, and, you know, when you're young, they want you to be on program, sometimes you'd be kind of shy. You'd be ashamed. You wasn't used to getting up and speaking in front of people. But this verse really did something to me as a child, because it let me know that I was ashamed of him now, then he would be ashamed of me in glory. And I want to let you know today, man, God, those of us that are holding up the bloodstained banner, those of us that allow the Holy Spirit to come through our lives and work in us, work for us, and work through us as an instrument of God, guess what? He's on his way back, and guess what? We're not ashamed to tell somebody right now he's coming back. Because I don't want him ashamed of me. I want to stand wherever I can stand. I want to say whatever the Holy Spirit wants me to say. I want him to use me in these closing days of grace, because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it is the power of salvation unto man. So those of you that are kind of ashamed or bashful now, or don't want nobody to know you're a Christian, I tell you what, the Bible says, Mark 8:38, if you're ashamed of him now, he'll be ashamed of you in front of his Father. I don't know about you, Sister Smith, but I don't want him to be ashamed of me. I want the Holy Spirit to have his way in my life and reveal to me what he wants me to do. Now, here's the third part of that seventh verse, and we're going to move right on. His overpowering presence is seen. His overpowering presence. They say, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, that's an overpowering experience. When Christ comes back, everybody going to know. The Bible says every knee should bow, every tongue must confess. It's an overpowering experience. And let me tell you something. You don't have to wait till he comes back on the second time to get that overpowering spirit. You can invite him into your life right now. And he will cause an effect on your life. If you let him, he'll have an overpowering experience in your life. I want you to read, I want Sister Smith to read Revelation 1 and 17, and we'll deal more with this verse on next week. But I want to give you an example of an overpowering presence of Christ when he comes back in the second coming, and the overpowering of Christ that can come in our lives and change our lives right now. Revelation 1 and 17, I think if you read that, I think that gives us a good idea of how John dealt with it. Can you read that?
Sure. Revelation 1, verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last.
Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, wait a minute. Every believer that don't know Christ in the pardon of that sin, every disbeliever, and every believer, this is the approach, this is the effect of an overpowering presence of Christ. Look what happened to John. John said, and when I, what, saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I'm like, well, what, look here. What a wonderful position. When the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus about her daughter, she fell at his feet. When the man in the graveyard that was chained, they tried to keep him chained up in the graveyard, when he saw Jesus afar off, the Bible says he fell down at his feet. And I want to let you know right now, if somebody don't know him in the pardoning of their sins, I'll tell you how you can meet him. You can come to know who he is, and you can fall down at his feet in the spirit. That's a good position. Sometimes we can't come to know him because we're too tall, we're too high, we know too much. But I dare you, if you don't know him, and I dare you, if you do know him, when it comes down to this, you ought to know how to fall down at his feet. John said, I fell as though as I was dead. And then look what happened. And he laid his right hand, that's a powerful hand, that right hand, upon me, saying to me, fear not. And I want to tell somebody that you know, whatever your circumstance is, whatever you're facing, whether it's medical, whether it's financial, whether it's judicial, whether it's social, I dare you to take it to Jesus. I dare you to fall down at his feet. The Bible just say, and he put his right hand on me and said, fear not. And I want to let you know, you don't have to fear what the doctor tell you. You don't have to fear what the lawyers tell you. You don't have to fear what the banker tell you. If you learn how to live at the feet of Jesus, he will take you through whatever you need to be talked to. Sister Smith, the old folks used to say he's a lawyer in a courtroom. He's a doctor in a sick room. You can fall down what? At his feet, and he will have an overwhelming, overpowering experience in your life. Now let's move to that eighth verse. You with me, Sister Smith? Now on that eighth verse, I had to stop here. I wanted to run past it, but I couldn't run past it because I am deals with the name. And throughout the Bible, Jesus would often say, I am. I mean, God, I want you to know who he is. It'd be a shame you listen to this broadcast and you don't know who we're talking about. I want to make sure we know who we're talking about, just like he wanted to make sure John knew who he was. He said what? I am, and that A for Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. Now watch this part right here, Sister Smith. Which is, that's the present tense. Which was, that's the past tense. And which is to become, that's the future tense. And that, and look at that, that's letting you know that God say, I am who I am in the past, in the present, and in the future. And I know somebody looking for some help today. I tell you, now wait a minute, but that's not all. He said, I am, in John 4:26, he said, I am the Messiah. In John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. In John 8:23, he said, I am from above. In John 8:58, he said, I am the eternal one. In John 9:5, he said, I am the light of the world. And we're going to get to this, this other one. In John 10:7, he said, I am the door. When we get to that fourth chapter, we're going to see John say, I saw a door. And when you see him say, I saw a door, Jesus say, I am the door. In John 10:11-14, he say, I'm the good shepherd. Then John 10:36, he say, I'm the Son of God. And then in John 11:25, he say, I am the resurrection of life. But my favorite most of all is he say, I am the way, the truth, and the light. That's what he said in John 14:6. But I like it better the way my grandmother used to say. He say, I am whatever you need me to be. Somebody out there, you might not need him for water. You might not need him. I'm talking about spiritual water. I'm talking about the living water. You might not need him for bread, but he is bread. But he is whatever you need him for. Maybe you need a friend. He's a friend to the friendless. Maybe your father passed away. He's a father to the fatherless. Maybe your mother is deceased. He's a mother to the motherless. Maybe you don't have no sisters and brothers, but y'all don't. He'll stick closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. So I couldn't pass that opportunity to get past that. He said, and guess what? I'm all that in the past, I'm all that in the present, and I'll be that in the future. What a blessing, what a blessing. Now I want to get to John, because when we see John, let's make sure we know exactly who we're speaking of. We're talking about John, the beloved disciple, the son of Zebedee. We're talking about the same John that was entrusted with the care of Jesus' mother. We talk about the same John that learned how to love through Christ in John 13:23. The same John, God saw fit to allow him to go through some things. Now here John, all he was doing was being a good soldier in God's army. All he was doing was telling the word of God and teaching the testimony of Jesus Christ. But because darkness is always on our trail, it caused him to be what? Exile. It caused him some suffering for Christ's sake. And do you not know in these closing days of grace, it's not as prevalent now in the United States as it is in other parts of the world, but many Christians are being persecuted. There will be some suffering for Christ's sake. Now, I know I got some friends with the view that there won't be no suffering and you shouldn't have suffering. But the Bible says that there ought to be some things that we suffer for Christ's sake. There will be suffering. Now, it won't overcome us because suffering, through suffering, he teaches us. Through suffering, we grow. So it's not a suffering that we can't overcome, but there will be obstacles in this life. Suffering for Christ, some trials believers may have to endure, just like John. And that's why God gives us his word. If the Holy Spirit really opens up your mind, you can look at John and see how God did. He deals with us the same way. There will be some suffering for Christ's sake. What kind of suffering you talking about, preacher? Matthew 5 and 11 talk about persecution. He said, bless ye when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Oh, Lord, I know I'm talking to somebody right now. I just want you to know, don't pay them no attention. That all go with the territory. Let the Holy Spirit be in your cheek. So when you turn your cheek, you turn your spirit. I wish I had somebody here. There will be some persecution. Folks will lie on you. I don't want you to be surprised about it. You will be exiled from the group. Sometimes folks don't want to be around you. Because why? The word of God, testimony of Jesus Christ. There will be, number two, some loss of life. Now somebody say loss of life. Well, wait a minute. Go to Matthew 10 and 39. Jesus said, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find. Oh, yeah, there will be some loss of life, and that's physical and spiritual. We're not facing a lot of threats right now. There are some things happening in the United States, but other countries, many Christians are losing their life because of who they stand for. And the day that's coming, we may be faced with it too, but I'm so glad that I learned not to be ashamed of the word of God, because I don't want him ashamed of me. When we stand before the Father, I want to say he stood strong, even in the midst. So there will be some loss of life. There will be some hatred. Folks will hate you. Maybe I don't. Now, that's the young folk word today. There will be some haters. Matthew 6:22 says, ye shall be hated of all men for my sake. You got to understand, when they hate you, it's not them hating you. It's them hating the God in you. Darkness hate us because God put his spirit in our life for his sake. And he said, you shall be, what? Hated of all men for my name's sake. So that young people got it right. In this Christian walk, there will be some haters. Then Romans Revelation 1 and 10, though, brings us to where we're trying to get to now, trying to get to that 10th chapter, 10th verse. So how, preacher, then do we our revelation from God? Now, and these are 3 points I want to make, and then I kind of take my seat, Sister Smith, but it's something that I want, God placed on my heart, and these 3 points right here is something that I really want you to really let the word of God sink into you. Are you with me? Now, I want you to read, Sister Smith, we'll just take it from that. 9-11 describes, John describes how his experience of this tribulation period in his life, and he lets us know that with Christ's patience, even on the Isle of Patmos, that he'll be all right. And he continued to what? Stand for the what? Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So here's the answer to the question. How do we receive a revelation from God? And John tells us right here in that 10th verse. Are you ready in that 10th verse? Look what it say. It say, I was number one in the spirit. got to be some Holy Spirit in your life. You, God can't reveal to you what he want to reveal to you if the Holy Spirit does not sit on the throne of your life, if the Holy Spirit does not lead you and guide you, if the Holy Spirit does not show you what God wants you to see and lead you in the path that God would have you to be. Now, wait, let me explain this, and then I'm going to have you read something. The Holy Spirit is essential in order for God to what? Reveal to us. We must be in the Spirit. And our problem in these closing days of grace, that spirituality is just, darkness trying to wipe out spirituality, trying to wipe out anything that's spiritual and put it with karma. But it cannot happen unless you are in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the orchestrator in our life. John 14 and 16 say the Holy Spirit is the abiding guest. John 14 and 28, the Holy Spirit is the teacher and the rememberer. John 15 and 26, the Holy Spirit is the testifier. John 16, 7 and 8, the Holy Spirit is the reprover. John 16 and 13, the Holy Spirit is the guide and the voice of God. I'm coming back to that. John 16 and 14, he's the glorifier of Jesus. John 16 and 15, he's the exhibitioner of Jesus. John Romans 8 and 26, he is our helper in prayer. In Revelation 22 and 17, he is the solicitor. In order for God to reveal something to us, we have to, number one, be in the Spirit. And I challenge you today. I challenge you today to ask God to give you a spiritual life. It's difficult enough trying to make it in this world, and you need all the advantages that you have. And one of the advantages that you have is the Holy Spirit. When you allow him to sit on the throne of your life, he directs your life, and he prepares you so that God can reveal his revelation in your life. And when God reveals his revelation in your life, you could be a blessing to others. So number one, in order to receive a revelation for God, you have to be, number one, in the Spirit. And number two, it say in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, on the Lord's day, that represents worship. To be in a worshiping mode. Get up in the morning before you take out. You're supposed to have a worship service. Every worship service we have, we always start with a song, scripture, and a prayer. That's a devotion. So if you're in the Spirit, in order for you to get in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and any day could be the Lord's day when you what? Let the Holy Spirit lead you. God, he said you must be on the Lord's day. Are you with me? Now in the Spirit, now let me give you some examples of that Spirit again. I want you to read, Sister Smith, I gave you some verses, Revelation 4 and 2, Revelation 17 and 3, 21 and 10. We see again him in the Spirit, and the Spirit provide a special vision for John. Can you read that for us, Sister Smith?
Revelation 4, verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
Now that we go get into that, that's a boy, you don't realize what a beautiful vision that is, to see one that sits on the throne. But we're not going to deal with it right now, but boy, look here, I pray the Holy Spirit will open up our eyes. What does 17 and 3 say, Sister Smith?
Revelation 17, verse 3. So he carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns.
My Lord, you'd be surprised what God can show you in the spirit. Give me 21 and 10, Sister Smith, and we're gonna move right along. 21 and 10.
21 and 10. And he carried me away in the spirit.
In the spirit.
In the spirit. To a great and high mountain. And showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God.
Lord have mercy. In the spirit. Now, the Lord's day, and we know that Sunday is the Lord's day, and Christian day of worshiping and celebrating the resurrection of Christ. But you got to have a devotion with God. You got to walk with him and talk with him. You got to commune with him. You got to have a fellowship with him. It's not just knowing who it's a fellowship situation. And those of us in the audience that are lonely, that I dare you to allow the Holy Spirit to put you in the spirit, and I dare you to worship him like you worship him for who he is and praise him for what he has done. And every day ought to be Sunday. Even though we mark Sunday as the Lord's day, every morning we get up, it ought to be the Lord's day, because we ought to have a worship service. We ought to have a song, scripture, and a prayer, because God woke us up and gave us one more opportunity. And that's enough to worship him right there. But in order to receive your revelation, you got to be in the spirit on the day of the Lord. Now, read Revelations 19. Let me put a scripture with that. Maybe that'll help out. I want you to read Revelation 19. I want you to read 1 through 10. 1 through 10, Sister Smith.
Revelation 19, 1 through 10. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord, our God. For true and righteousness are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you, his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunders, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God.
Lord, have mercy. Let me simplify like this. The old church, the old preacher used to say, when we were in church, he'd say, now, you know, like some people be ready for church to let out. They, you know, they want their hour, and after that hour's up, they start looking at their watch, you know. And, you know, Sister Smith, us as Baptists, we tend to stay a little longer. But the point of the matter is, you look in this 1 through 6 verse, you're looking at the hallelujah choir in heaven. And the old priest used to say, now, if you don't like having church all day long, even though we won't be no need for the church, we're going to praise him. If you want to praise him all night long, guess what? This is your opportunity. But if you want to tend to got, you know, just 1 hour for church, this might not be the place for you, because up there, we're going to sing hallelujah, and we're going to praise him. It's going to be the Lord's day every day. We won't need no sun, because he's going to be the brightness. And when you get to that seventh verse, in that same 10 verses, it deals with the marriage of the Lamb. That's when Christ comes back, and Christ comes and marries the church. Oh, what a joyous day. Only point I'm trying to make, Sister Smith, that if you want God to reveal some things to you, you have to, number one, be in the Spirit. Number two, it has to be on the Lord's day. It ought to be some worship in your life every day. And then number three, my last one, you got to hear his voice. Because if you notice the last part of that verse, it says, John, I'm starting out, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And look what he said, and heard. Did your Bible say heard, Sister Smith? And heard behind me, what? A great voice, as of a trumpet. You got to hear his voice. Something about the voice of God. And don't get his voice mixed up with darkness' voice, because darkness will try to talk to you too. There are evil spirits, but they're not powerful than the Holy Spirit. But you got to know his voice. You got to hear what he's saying to you. You have to follow where he leads. You have to eat where he feeds. And you shall not want the steps of a good man if he listens or ordered by the Lord. So that let me know, if he ordered my steps, then he ordered my path. If he ordered my steps, then he ordered my provisions. If he ordered my steps, he ordered my power. If he ordered my steps, he ordered my provisions. But I must hear what he's saying. And Sister Spirit, I never will forget the lesson you taught about your hearing. What type of hearer are you? Are you a hard-hearted hearer? Are you a forgetful hearer? What type of hearer are you? A good ground hearer? I'm talking about to hear what God had to say. But in order for God to reveal his revelation unto you, as I get ready to take my seat, number one, you have to be in the Spirit. Holy Spirit got to be the center of your life. Number two, there got to be some worship. Got to be on the Lord's Day. It ain't just no Lord's Day on no Sunday. No, but you, I have to praise him all week long. Somebody ought to praise him right now. It could be Sunday right now in my radio listeners' land. So, Smith, I hope you ought to just have church right now. Everybody just clap their hands. Hallelujah choir. Hallelujah is the greatest praise we can get out. In order for him to be, John was in a heavenly mode when God talked to him. And the Spirit puts him in a sacred mode. It's a consecrated mode. And we can have that right now. We don't have to wait till Sunday. But if you want God to what? Reveal to you, you have to what? Be in a worship situation. You got to worship him. Praise him. Thank him. And I ain't talking about just when you get up in the morning. I'm talking about all day long. And then let me give you some scriptures on those voices. I gave you some scriptures, Sister Smith, on the voice, because listen what the voices represent. The voices and noise indicate the power and universal reverence and message of the events to come. Read Revelation 4 and 1. Somebody not getting it. Revelation 4 and 1, Sister Smith.
After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet sound. Come
oh
up
Lord,
here,
he heard.
And I will show you what must take place after this.
You got to hear what he's trying to tell you so he can show you what he wants you to see, so he can lead you in the path that you're having to go. Read 5 and 6 and 1, Sister Smith.
Revelation 6, verse 1. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see.
Thunder. See, he speaks, Lord have mercy, because this one heard a thunder. And when I say his voice, if you notice, I say the noise is for the whole world. It's not no something quietly. It represents the whole world. But he said the noise of thunder. Oh, we learned in Vacation Bible School that he can speak to an earthquake. He got to ready to spoke to Israel. They said, we can't take it, Moses. You just let him tell you, and then you tell us, because we can't. He can speak in the quiet of the night. Talking about, well, ain't nobody but you and him. He'll speak to you. I wish I had some witnesses out there. Just tap on your phone one time. He will speak to you in the middle of the night. And he'll speak to you in the broad daylight. But you got to hear what he's saying. Go and read 5 and 2. 5 and 2, Sister Smith.
Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?
All I'm trying to say to you as I take my seat is that God wants reveal some things to him. And if you, like me, want God to have his way in our life, I want to be number one in the spirit. And I want it, number two, I want every day to be the Lord's day in my life. I want to praise him every day. I want to worship him every day. And number three, I don't care if it's thunder, I don't care if it's lightning. I don't care if it's the rolling of the sea. I don't care if it's the angel. I don't care if it's his voice. I just want to hear what he has to say. Because when he tells me what he wants me to know and shows me what he wants me to see and leads me in the path that he would have me to go, I'm thankful because I know that he can reveal some things to you. Next week we'll take a look at the churches and see how these messages that he sent to the churches and see did they hear. And he continues to stress that. Hear what I'm saying. And I want to thank you tonight for allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through me. And I pray that you be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, which is every day, and know his voice. Because his voice match up with the word. Thank you, Sister Smith.
Amen. Amen. And this has been a sweet, sweet lesson for us to walk through the pages of Revelation. And this should be a book that we embrace, a letter to the churches by the Apostle John, something that we should not be ashamed of, as Pastor Crow made mention in the verses, especially Mark 8, verse 38. Be not ashamed of the word of God, of the message of God, proclaiming the message of God to others. This is what the world needs to hear, the true word and the preaching and teaching of the right word is what we need. It encourages us. It builds us up in spirit. And when we get together, we can worship together in spirit, and then we can hear the voice of God in spirit. And oh, what a day of rejoicing it will be. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This, Pastor Crow, this message, this teaching, this lesson tonight has been such a delight to me on how to receive a revelation from God. This was awesome in all its beauty.
And I can't wait. I know I'm going to have to, but I can't wait until we really start digging in and looking at the seven churches. But thank God for the message, and I thank you, my brother, for being a steward of his word, that others would be set free from some of the shackles that we have in our lives. And thank you again, Pastor Crow, for delivering such a wonderful lesson on this broadcast. I just want to say, if you have missed any of this lesson, you can listen to this lesson again 24/7 at your own private study time. You go to blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart-mfth, and that's blogtalkradio.com/heart2heart, and that's MFTH, which stands for Mission from the Heart. And refresh yourself. Take down some of these rich scriptures and go back and study to show thyself approved unto God so that you can get this in your soul and your spirit, that it will become a way of life for you to be revealed to others, because he is coming back. He comes back at the twinkling of an eye. And I tell you, you need to be ready right now. For this is the day that you need to be ready. Pastor Crow, I want to extend the gospel to someone that might be listening that may not know him in the pardoning of their sin. So if you could, Pastor Crow, pray a prayer of salvation for those that are listening on the broadcast live and on the internet, that someone may not go away, that they not leave this broadcast, not accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
Our Father in heaven, we come right now once again saying thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And above all, thank you for your darling son, Jesus Christ, died in our place on Calvary's Hill. Now we pray that there might be someone in the listening audience that do not know you in the pardoning of their sin. They don't have a relationship with you. We pray right now that through the hearing of the gospel, through the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, that they learn that they can accept you right now. If they believe it in their heart and confess it with their mouth and it baptized, they can be saved. Our prayer today is somebody in radio audience land, you can repeat after me. I'm a sinner. I'm a wretch undone. But I'm yours, Lord. I want to accept you as my Savior. I want to find a church, give my hand to the preacher, my heart to God, become baptized so that you can reveal what you want me to know. We pray right now, Lord, that you put them in the Spirit. Pray right now that they worship you every day, be the Lord's day. And we pray they learn to hear your voice. Thank you now. Thank you for Sister Smith. And we pray you continue to have your way with this program. We pray that you spread your word all over the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for touching and agreeing with Pastor Crow and I in this special time, because we do not want to assume that every listener on this broadcast, to this program, is saved. And we want all of the world to come to know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of their sin, that they would be a part of the great call, that trumpet sound that we excitingly anticipate to hear, that the dead in Christ will rise, but the living, by the twinkling of an eye, will be caught up with him. And, oh, what a joyful day that will be. Pastor Crowe, I am excited about learning and knowing more about these seven churches in the book of Revelation as we move forward in these pages. And that is going to be another sweet nugget that I encourage you to be a part of this program on next Thursday so that you don't miss it. But in the event that you do, always know that you can go back and listen to these broadcasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in your private study time. So I want to thank Pastor Crowe again as a faithful steward of his word, and I want to thank you as a faithful listener of his word, that you will become a faithful servant of his word. And always remember that the word will remain as the grass wither, the flowers wither, and the grass fadeth. This word, the right word, the true word, the word of God, will remain forever and ever. God bless you, and have a blessed worship Sunday, and enjoy your week. Remember, don't forget to be in the Spirit. Always allow the Spirit to shine forth. And always remember the Lord's Day, church, worship, and never forget to listen to his still small voice, that he will lead you and guide you. Thank you for your faithfulness to our Father, and thank you for your faithfulness to this ministry, Mission from the Heart. God bless you, and good night.